You're now listening to The Social Scene with your host, Jay-Z.
Today, the show is brought to you by Be Who You Are magazine. Welcome back to The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Today, The Social Scene has such an exciting guest on the line, Stephen Hirsch, who is the CEO and founder of Biagi, and you also have seen Stephen on Shark Tank Season 6. Hi, Stephen. How are you today?
Hi, Jackie. It's good to be with you.
Oh, it's so exciting to have you. And of course, you know, we want to hear all about your background. You are originally from New York, right?
I'm from Brooklyn originally. I was born and raised there.
Oh,
now I
nice.
Live in Long Island.
Yeah. So you stayed in a similar vicinity. Brooklyn and Long Island are not that far from each other.
I suburbanized.
Yeah. So I would love to, you know, learn about your background and how you got into the luggage industry. So let's first discuss, you know, what your first career was when it came to, you know, merchandise.
Yeah. So I was the first career that I had in consumer merchandise was working for my father's handbag company. My father has been in the handbag business for my entire life. And around the time I was a teenager, he started his own business. So I worked in this company for a bit. And then that company was sold and we ended up starting Biagi together.
So cool. Oh, that's great. So it's always been a family business of somewhat.
Yeah, exactly. It is the family business making bags.
That's so awesome. So, you know, just out of curiosity, what was the first bag you ever made?
The first item I made with handbags?
Yeah.
So, Rossetti was the name of the handbag company. It became a global handbag brand, and Rossetti was known for its innovative products and making, you know, basically always being a step ahead of the competition, doing something a little bit different instead of, you know, pretty much like knocking companies off, which a lot of the bag companies and apparel companies out there do. So Rossetti was the first company to put a cell phone pocket on a woman's handbag, for example. And this is back when cell phones first really started to, you know, come on the scene, and it started to get to a point where everybody owned one. And we were the first to do that. We were actually the first one to create a bag that you see everywhere now. It's pretty much standard, but Rossetti was the first to do it. It was like an organizer bag. It was there to solve a problem, pretty much, of rummaging through your stuff, you know, and finding, you know, handbags, you know, back in those days, basically were one big pocket, maybe like a zipper inside, maybe something on the outside also. But we were the first to make a bag that has organization as a part of the bag. And again, this is something you're listening to me and being like, thinking probably like this is something you see everywhere, but we really were the first to do it.
So when was that officially established? Like now, because cell phones have been around for so long, when was that made? How long ago?
Oh, this is like right out. This is while I was in college, basically. Figure 1998, maybe 97, 98. You know, those days, not everybody had cell phones.
Yeah, I know. Fact, crazy.
Yeah, I just got a cell. I was like one of the last of my friends to get a cell phone. I didn't, you know, it was hard to imagine that. And again, something you wouldn't believe, being where we are right now in the world where everybody's walking around with a smartphone. But back then, just wasn't the case. I mean, it wasn't even clear that this was going to be something that absolutely everybody was going to have.
Right. And it was always the flip phone. Now it's all flat phones, pretty much.
Yeah, it wasn't even a flip phone. It looked like a smartphone, but yeah, the flip phone was a big innovation, actually. It was like a StarTAC. I don't know if you know what that is. That was the first flip phone. It was called the StarTAC, and that was a big deal. Like, wow, look how cool, you could flip this open. Now you're like ancient history if you own that.
That's hysterical. Well, now that you say that, that does make sense. Like the Nokia, like the thick Nokia phones. Is that what you're talking
exactly.
about? Yeah, that's so funny.
About.
Really, really cool. Like you would never think about that, you know, like that people would need something for that long ago, because it seems like everyone has it now.
Yeah, and like, you know, just, you know, with cell phones, handbags, you know, whatever it is that, you know, is out there, and innovations and new things that happen, It's always like that, where at the beginning it's wow, this is so cool, and then I guess, you know, it gets taken for granted. You know, like that handbag that I was explaining to you that we were the first to make, that organizer bag. Again, every single handbag brand on the planet makes those as a standard part of what they do, but we were the first to do that, so pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So now, of course, after, you know, your history with launching handbags and designing them with your dad, when did Biagi launch officially?
Biagi launched, well, we started, we came up with the idea of Biagi in like 2009, and then we really started working on it in 2010, and 2011 was the first year we started really selling things. It took
really
a while
cool.
to develop the product. So, very difficult to make the luggage we make.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into details, definitely. So my question is, what does Biagi mean, you know, for all of our listeners who might not have ever heard of it before?
I mentioned that the last company we had was Rossetti, the handbag company. So we wanted to stick to an Italian name, I guess, because we were used to that. And also, you know, an Italian name. I grew up in Brooklyn around a bunch of Italians. And, you know, Italians are, you know, mean quality, you know, Italian goods. It means quality. It means, you know, that's really what we're trying to do with both of those names. And Biagi is kind of a cross between two things. Voyage in Italian is Viaggi. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Biagi kind of sounds like a mixture between like bag, voyage, you know what I'm saying?
That's also creative. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very
and
cool.
And also Biagi.com was available.
That's hysterical. Hey, whatever works, right?
Exactly.
That's so funny. So now, of course, I want to go into the actual layouts of the Biagi brand. So you have two different types of luggage. There's the zip sack. Well, did that come in later on?
Yeah, the zip sack was the most recent product that we've developed.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's first talk about, you know, the layout of the Biagi. So it's foldable luggage for our audience members who did not see Steven on Shark Tank. But so tell us about how you figured this out, that you can get foldable luggage.
Yeah, so there we have two lines of foldable luggage, and I'll get into what the difference between the two of them is in a minute. But basically, we were trying to do exactly what we did with the Rossetti. Rossetti was a success story. It was a company that was started from my kitchen table and grew into a very, very large handbag brand and that was sold. And again, the recipe for success with Rossetti was always bringing something new to the table, something that nobody else is doing. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're just adding something useful. And we were looking at other ways we could do that within other industries, and obviously bags are our sweet spot. That's what we know. So we saw a folding bag, but it didn't quite cut it. You were compromising something. Basically, the foldable bag that was out on the market at the time was only foldable basically because it had no structure, and you weren't getting a suitcase that really, you know, the ideal suitcase that you would carry no matter what. You were compromising. So
mm-hmm.
we figured if we can make a bag, a piece of luggage that is gives you exactly what you get, what you want out of a piece of luggage, full structure, durability, you know, really good like trolley system, wheels, everything the same, just as good or better than everybody else, but we could add that foldable feature, then we thought we really had a winner. So we set out to do it, and you know, like I said, that's what we do. We make bags, and we figure this out. We use a hinge basically because to give the bottom full structure. Because in order for a bag to roll on four wheels, which every suitcase pretty much right now has to almost, it's almost a requirement. In order for it to do that, you have to have a completely rigid bottom. So how do you make that fold? So we invented a hinge that locks into place so you could fold it, unfold it. We took the structure from the sides of the bag and we put it, normally it would be inside the fabric, we put it inside the bag so that you could snap it up and snap it down. And as well as I could explain this on the radio, I hope I'm doing a good job. Basically, we make it that every single part of a suitcase that is rigid and structured, we figured out a way to make that fold down. And that's what we did.
It's genius.
So,
it's genius.
Yeah, so that was, yeah, and that was the first thing. Then the next item was the zip sack, which is a completely different kind of bag. That's like a soft bag, almost a duffly bag. It is on four wheels, but we use this patented foldable design, which allows it to turn into this tiny pouch. You could literally put it inside of a drawer, and if you open it and pack it, then it functions just like a regular suitcase without its full trolley system, but it really operates well, smoothly, really good wheels, really good fabric, never rips, never punctures, and those have become our most popular item, actually.
So interesting. Now, just so our audience members know, if they are interested, the zip sacks are smaller than the standard Biagi bags, right?
Well, when they're open, when you pack them and pack them full, you know, we have zip sacks that are very large, that are even larger than a regular suitcase. We have different sizes, so they're smaller when you fold them. When you fold them, they're like nothing. Like,
right.
You could put 10 of them inside of a carry-on, a regular carry-on.
Crazy.
Yeah, they're very small.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So if for a standard traveler, you know, who would you recommend for what? Like if somebody travels not so often, maybe twice a year, what would you recommend out of your bags that would be most beneficial for them?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the way I would answer that is, it depends what you're doing. Like, if you're going on a cruise, which I think 3 billion people do every single year, I would recommend a zip sack, because you can take that, you get this tiny cruise cabin, and our zip sacks are perfect for that, because they're literally folded to nothing. And another use for it is that when people who go on cruises typically come back with a lot more than what they left with, because they're visiting all these countries, they get off the boat, they go out, they go shopping. So they need another bag. So you could take a zip sack, you could put it in your suitcase, and and they love it for that. So people who go on cruises absolutely rave about that bag. College kids love it also. And then there's some people that will use it for regular travel, although there's still, I would say, a majority of the people going on a business trip or going on a regular family vacation, they might take a zip sack along with them if they're bringing back more than what they took with them, but it's going to take them a little bit of time to get used to traveling with a bag like that. So I'd recommend for you, if that's what you're doing, one of our regular foldable bags, which are extremely functional and fashionable, and are get tremendous reviews.
Yeah, well, I know they come in multiple colors too, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's not the standard black. So if anyone is interested, they definitely should go check it out on Biagi.com.
And all of our fabrics are unique. They're different. They're not like anything you've ever seen. Take that out of your mind, throw it out the window. We do everything differently. We're a handbag company that's making luggage. So we've got a little bit of a different mindset, actually a lot of a different mindset than other luggage companies have. And we try to use that to our advantage.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I've never heard of foldable luggage till I heard of you, which is amazing, because people are always looking to consolidate, you know, to make more space for room for other things. And I mean, I think it's a really genius idea. So I'm glad you did that.
Thank you.
Of course. So now I definitely want to discuss your experience on Shark Tank season 6. So let's talk about how that came about for you. So where did you try out? Like, where were the auditions?
So basically, I got a call one day from somebody from the company that hosts my website, and they were in touch with one of the Shark Tank producers. I guess there are some Shark Tank producers that go out there and look for companies that they think would be good on Shark Tank. So you could either audition, you could stand in line and, you know, wait to audition for a producer, but that's not what happened with me. I actually got a call. I hadn't even thought about doing something like that until I got the call. And so then I had to apply like everybody else, but they put the idea in my head. I spoke to a producer before I applied, and I was able to be in touch with them the whole way through. And I was a little bit pushy with them, and I made sure that I got into that tank.
That's amazing. So, you know, once you're in the tank, what is it like? I mean, you see it on TV, you know, when it's afterwards, right? They do it, they air it like a few months later.
Yeah.
So what is it like for you? Is it intimidating? Like, what are they like in person?
Yeah. So it's not that intimidating once you're in there and talking to them, because mm-hmm. they're all, I mean, these are just regular, normal people. These aren't people who are celebrities and uppity and holier than thou. They're regular business people who, you know, happen to be a part of this incredibly successful show, Shark Tank, that's really taken, you know, the world by storm at this point. And they were all really nice to me. Beforehand, it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
You're waiting outside. I'll tell you one thing that happens in the Shark Tank that people who watch on TV don't know, is that you don't start talking right away. So, you know, you see on TV, you're walking down the hallway and there's this music playing. We don't actually hear that music, obviously. But then you walk in, you stand in front of the sharks, and you start your pitch. But that's not really what happens. What really happens is you walk down the hall, you stand up in front of the sharks, and then you have to be quiet. quiet for about 2 to 3 minutes and say nothing while they adjust the cameras, adjust the lighting, make sure that everything's looking good and right. And then one of the producers in the studio says, begin, and then you start your pitch.
Oh, my God. So you have to, like, think about what you're, like, you have to, like, think about it again in your head. Am I going to say the right thing? Like, that would make me more nervous.
You're having, like, a staring contest with them, you know? Nobody's saying anything. It's, like, really, really awkward and bizarre and nerve-wracking.
That's hysterical. You know,
yeah. Then, like, you start your pitch, and then already... I would say that's a little nerve-wracking, too, because it's a rehearsed thing. But then afterwards, everything becomes kind of loose. It's a lot of it is conversational, and they weave it into what you see on television. But it's very conversational, and they're all really good people, and they made me feel comfortable. I can't speak for anybody else.
No, well, that's awesome. So, and then obviously, you know, you're working with Lori Grenier now, which is amazing. Congratulations on that. So, of course. So how's that experience been for you? And then, of course, you know, January 7th, everybody should be on the lookout because Stephen will be on Beyond the Tank, which is one of my favorites of Shark Tank. I think that it's amazing that they do that so people can really see the outcome, you know?
Yeah. It's a new show. They ran 3 episodes last year, but now they're going to go full swing into the season. And the premiere is on January 7th. It's not a Shark Tank update from as part of Shark Tank. It's a new show, and there's going to be a lot of behind the scenes of what happened.
With Lori as your business partner, which is so exciting.
Lori's an inspirational person. She's great. I mean, she sells my stuff on QVC. She does a great job of it. She's got an existing customer base that I'm very fortunate to have access to now because she's selling my stuff to them and doing extremely well with it. And just for that alone, it was worth it. But besides that, I mean, Lori's an inspirational person. She's a person who, just like me, just like anybody else who starts a business and really, really works their butts off and builds it and spends every day dealing with the daily grind. And Lori does that like anybody else. She's not a TV celebrity. She's not an actress. She is a business person, and she's an unbelievable business person and a great salesperson and a product. She knows product. I'm amazed by the things that she is able to help me with, packaging, wording for things. I mean, this is what she did. She's just a person with a business background who really, really made herself into a successful businesswoman. And all the respect in the world for her.
I think it's really great, too, that they're so hands-on, you know, with all the people they take on. It seems like she's so hands-on with anybody she takes on. And I can't even imagine how many people and businesses she works with at this point, you know?
She's the best. From all the sharks, she's the best. She, you know, maybe I'm a little biased, but I really believe that. I really do. You don't even know. I mean, I speak to her at 1 a.m. sometimes.
Oh,
I mean,
my
she's
God.
She's just a workhorse. Yeah, I mean, she's unbelievable. If I need to talk to her that day, I talk to her that day. And I'm not the only one. So, like you said, she works with so many different companies at this point, and she does it really unbelievably well. When I talk to her, I don't feel like I'm interrupting her and she's dealing with a million things. She's focused on me and my issues and my thing because this is our business. And she treats it like that. So I'm really, really fortunate.
That's so great. Well, we're so excited to see you on Beyond the Tank on January 7th. And what are some goals, you know, you have for Biagi in the near future?
Yeah, so my goal for Biagi is very, very clear in my mind. And that's to expand beyond just foldable luggage. It's to create innovative travel products. Foldable luggage is the beginning. But I want Biagi to be a whole lot more than that. We're working on some items right now that are going to be coming out in the spring that are really going to take the market by storm. Things that you have, everybody owns, but are, you know, really add convenience, add, you know, things to make your life easier with products that you use on a regular basis, especially if you travel, which so many people do.
Right. So true. So where can people get the luggage? Where can they purchase it?
So you could go on Biagi.com. You can get everything that we have available at www.biagi.com. You could find our different products in different places. You could we're on QVC. We're on Bed Bath. We're in Bed Bath & Beyond. You can go on their website. This year we're going to be in Target with certain items. Our core line of foldable luggage, the higher end stuff, is only available on Biagi.com. And the reason I did that is because I'm able to charge my customers a lower prices, because if I'm selling to a store, then they're taking 50% of what we're selling it for. So I made a decision that for my more expensive stuff and higher quality, you know, really like high-end stuff that might have cost, you know, $400, for example, I'm able to sell it for $200 because I don't have to cut the store in, and I'm able to sell it directly to my customer, and I made a conscious decision to keep the price down by doing that. My Zipsax, that's you could buy that in the Container Store also. And this coming year, we're going to be in several other larger retailers.
That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Of course. So tell everybody where they can follow you on social media as well.
So you could find us at Biagi Luggage, at Biagi Luggage on Twitter. You could do Biagi Luggage on Facebook or on Instagram, Biagi Luggage on Instagram as well. And yeah, that's that.
That's perfect. Well, thank you so much, Stephen. It's been such a pleasure to have you and learn all about your background.
Thank you, Jackie. It was really, really nice to be here with you. I appreciate you having me on.
Of course. Likewise. And everybody, be sure to look out for Stephen on January 7th. It will be a great episode.
Don't miss it.
Yeah, don't miss it.
8 p.m. on ABC.
Okay, perfect. 8 p.m. ABC January 7th. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Be sure to check Biagi out on Biagi.com and all their social media. And stay tuned till next time. Next on The Social Scene, we have the author, Tell All From Insanity to Sane, Barbara Archer, and she is also the editor of Be Who You Are magazine and the founder of Fitz Entertainment LLC. Stay tuned. Today, this show is brought to you by polishedandbubbly.blogspot.com.
You're listening to Jay-Z on The Social Scene. The Social Scene.
Today, this show is brought to you by polishedandbubbly.blogspot.com.
You're listening to Jay-Z on The Social.